jumps up and down. That's something to talk about. But now, does anybody talk about the Syrians? You know, so like that, every year there'll be a few issues that'll bring people together. They'll sit at their little, you know, how you say, little cafe, little tables, drink their coffee or whatever it is that they do over there. And then, but then as persons, do they have any culture, the commonness? They can't even sit down and eat dinner together as a family. You know, one's in the bedroom, one's sitting on their couch watching this, the other one's in their room, you know, on some kind of, you know, social media like that. The mother's talking on the phone to her friends. So they even sit together and have dinner? Like before, it used to be in Europe, dinner time, everybody sat down together, dressed properly, sat properly, talked properly, and then they had community as a family. And then they had families that they had connection with, and there was community. You could go pop into some friend's house, something happens, everybody would come over. But nowadays, unless you call, you don't show up at somebody's house. In fact, why would you show up? You can just talk on the media. And if they don't want to actually talk, they just don't answer your message. Is this clear? So the point is we first have to understand is there is no modern community. And so the only thing, and we see, because community means common values, then the only thing of common value is Krishna and his culture. That says every living entity is a servant of Krishna. Then that becomes the basis of community, because everybody being servant of Krishna, you know, and the nine processes devotion. So that becomes the common culture between all living entities of the universe, let alone the universe, the cosmos. And that's the place where everybody can get together. And then it's about Krishna, it talks about Krishna, there's kirtans about Krishna, plays about Krishna, discussions about Krishna, prasad that's connected to Krishna. You know, you do activities connected to Krishna, you worship the deity, you know, you worship Krishna in that form. This is community. We have to be convinced that this is the community that everybody can take part in. And we have to start from the essential point. The essential point is understanding our relationship with the Lord. And that process being cultivated by the association of devotees, by hearing and chanting about the holy name, about Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. That's the common point. Taking prasad, then you can develop. Not that, oh, they have to dress like I'm dressing or this one or that one. No, first catch them that they catch them, they understand their position. Then it naturally changes. As Prabhupada mentions in the Brahma Samhita, that Hare Krishna address, there's no need to change the external form. You change the consciousness. That will automatically change the form. But if you like to be clean, then naturally you wear dhotis and saris, because a pair of jeans, how often do you wash them? Right? Once a week? That's if your mom's around or your wife's around. If you're on your own, only when they start to stand up in the corner or they, you know, you reach over to get them and they bite you or something. You know? So, therefore, if you're into cleanliness, then this is cloth. You just wash it, hang it up, it's dry in a few hours, you can wear it again. So that's the thing. It's simple, it's easy, you just have a flat piece of cloth, you put it on. It always works. It doesn't matter if you're thin, fat, get taller or shorter, you can always put it on, and it always looks nice. Or the pair of jeans you got, unless you maintain the same weight, you can't wear them. You know, how you say it? Yeah, it's just not, and you can't wear them to anything. Dhotis, you could wear it to anything. Sari, you could wear it. You could wear a sari just to walk on the street. You could go to a formal occasion. You could go to the Nobel Peace Prize, you know, awards in a sari. But you can't go in your jeans. They wouldn't let you in the door. So therefore we see is that the culture that Srila Prabhupada gave, that is the universal culture. That is the basis of the community. Krishna, and then expressed through the culture, that's what you have. That's reality. You can say whatever you like, but the point is How many temples, like you said yourself, is that, you know, cultivating the Indian community, then you're able to do, take care and do things and focus on, you know, your, you know, day-to-day activities, your preaching, your sadhana, rather than just worrying about money. Why? Because the Indian culture is one culture, right? You cook Indian food, all 12,000 of them will be happy. You know, like that. So that's the whole thing. It is, you know, you can say, oh, but that's Indian. Then why are the Indians there in Denmark? Why are they in Sweden? Why are they in Finland? Why are they in America? Why are they everywhere on the planet? And everywhere they go, they're making money. And they're making good money. So this whole idea is, oh, you can only do that stuff in India. No, the Indians are showing their culture goes everywhere. Their culture works everywhere. So why? Because it's not Indian. It's Vedic. It's a misnomer to say, oh, that's Indian. No, it's not. It's Vedic. People follow nicely, don't follow nicely. People get confused about what's Vedic because they like to listen to academics rather than listen to Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas. And so if we have that kind of commitment, then we know is that what we're doing, that's what we can give to others. That's what others can practice. That's what others can follow. That's what can be the cause of community. Right now, you could go to any one of those Indians' house, have a program, the same kirtan, and they're cool about it. How many non-Indians can you go to their house? These guys aren't, you know, as such, you know, devotees that you know, whose house could you go to? But the Indians, you can go. Why? Because of the common philosophy and culture. They're not so trained in it. As the generations go, they know less and less about it. But there's an identity there. And you can say, oh, but it's a mundane identity. But it's an identity that holds them together that makes it favorable for Krishna consciousness. How many Danish people, there's a group of 12,000 of them, and at any time they could interact with each other and do programs with them and go over to each other's house. Name me one group. Right? How many groups? Zero. And that's on a good day. You understand? So that you have to be convinced that you already have whatever it takes to be successful. You just have to yourself try to understand it and figure out how to expose others to it, so that they can themselves then add that in their life and then become more and more part of the community. Does that make sense? So it's not that, oh, there's some other formula we got to get from the karmis. If there was a formula, why is it in the last 3,000 years they haven't been able to work it out? Right? Since the time of the Greeks, is there a formula? In fact, how many people like Greeks? You know, how many think of Greece as a leader in philosophy and administration and economics and all that? 3,000 years ago, yes, but today, not so much. Is anybody a leader? Right? At all times. Sweden used to lead, Denmark used to lead, France used to lead, Germany used to lead, England used to lead, Spain, Portugal, they all used to lead. But now, does anybody turn to them for, you know, they have a solution, they've worked it out? So the karmis haven't worked it out at all. They have no idea. Right? But you see the Vedic culture, it's still viable today. This idea is, oh, that's old, we need something new. No, it's eternal. Eternal means it was good yesterday, it's good today, and it will be good tomorrow. And what does modern mean? Well, I'll give you the definition that Manu Samhita gives. Bhrigu Muni then explains to the sages. Modern means not Vedic. So modern has always been there. Charvak Muni is modern. Buddhists are modern. You understand? James, anybody who doesn't follow or value the Vedic culture, they're modern. Why is it modern? Modern means it's just about what's happening right now. Because whatever happened before, they don't care. and whatever happens tomorrow, it will be different. Modern means constantly changing because there's no constant central value system. And therefore, from one generation to the next, the values change, the culture changes, they're completely different people. Nowadays, teenagers have nothing to talk about with their parents because they're following a different culture. Does this all have any meaning, or is this too getting too grumpy or stuff like that? Or
definitely not. It makes a lot of sense.
Okay. Is that, because the point is that, to me, as Prabhupada points out, it's not our business to find fault, but it's a business to understand Krishna's position and how Krishna is the central element of all relationships, because everything's coming from him. Everything's related to him. That's the only international or universal principle is Krishna. Nothing else is universal. They try to make it, oh, the American cultures, that, this and that. No, it's not. Other than Americans, most other countries of the world aren't that impressed with Americans. Individuals may like them, but as cultures, basically no other culture of the world likes Americans, but they like to think that they are, you know, they are the world. They're the ones, you know, like the hippies at Woodstock. We are the world. No, they're a bunch of guys sitting in a bunch of mud up, you know, in northern part of New York or something like that, listening to music. Most other people would rather sit in their house and listen to music. Why do you have to go out and sit in the mud? But whatever it is, they were under the illusion. We are the world. So that's the whole point is, you know, let's take that. Everybody has that. So I'm sure, as, you know, all these different ones is that, you know, like China, they think they call themselves the Middle Kingdom. That means they're in the center. Everybody else is around them. You know, Russians will think they're the center like that. You know, I'm sure in their day, you know, Germans thought they were the center. From Germany, they were going to take over the world. You know, Louis the 14th, that's the way he's looking at it, taking over Europe. So that's the thing. It's just these are the modes of nature, and this is how it makes people think. So therefore, one has to be convinced about the philosophy and culture. And then contemplate it and think how to express it, how to explain it to others. Because you can say, oh, I explained it, it didn't work. But you couldn't explain any other culture. You know what I'm saying? Like you're there in Denmark, you know, go to explain to them how they should follow English culture. I'm sure you'll fail. You know, and probably, I don't know, but most countries is like that. In Denmark, you have kind of slight differences in the people of the north and the south, or east and west, or if there's any mountains, the people up in the mountains are different. The people in the plains, or the people that are right on the ocean, are different from that. And each one has their own culture, their own food, their own way of doing things. So you wouldn't be able to convince them to follow something else. So the point is that's we're trying to change the consciousness. If they change the consciousness, they just go on however they're living. And as they change the consciousness, then you'll see is that they are able to do. So you're trying to get them to accept that. Take up chanting. Take up reading Prabhupada's books. Take up association with Vaishnava. Don't start off with being a vegetarian or something. It means you can always have a vegetarian club and these kinds of things. They're ways to catch people's attention. But the main thing is change the consciousness. Otherwise, as Prabhupada pointed out, you know, the pigeons are vegetarian. You know, and, you know, they're not that great at devotees, believe it or not, you know, but they're just not, you know. Does that make any sense?
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
Okay. So do you want to, you know, have some question that'll give some more specific direction to what we're talking about here?
Does anyone have some specific questions that they would like to ask Maharaj? That would be very much welcome.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I appreciate this point that there is no common values, common culture in material society. But my comment is that, but there is a common concept of nihilism,
Yes, yes. Means the atheistic and that of breaking down tradition and that, and I'm you know, I whatever I want, and I feel that that's the pinnacle of perfection. That's common, but how they express it is not. So unless they're discussing that point, they have no community. Otherwise, how do you go, you know, where do you go to eat? You know, this one's a vegan, that one's a meat eater, this one's a, you know, how you say, vegetarian, you know, like this and that. So how do they get along here? The meat eaters think that the vegetarians, the vegans are stupid. The vegans think the vegetarians and the meat eaters are stupid. The vegetarian thinks the meat eater's stupid, but the vegan's okay, but he's so grumpy, so therefore we don't like to eat with him either. So that's the problem, is culturally they don't have anything. They get out there in a march, they get in the street and all this and that. They get together and they share, you know, they're yelling and screaming. They share a little COVID-19, you know, all these nice things they do. And then after that, then where is it? They're gone, right? What is it? 3 weeks ago, then this black guy gets dealt with improperly by the police. He gets killed. You know, everyone's jumping up and down all over the world, you know, 200-300 different marches and all. Where are those guys now? Right? It's gone. Now that everyone's talking about how amazingly that everyone came out of wherever they were, out of lockdown, because it's their right to be free and all that. And now they have all have COVID-19. And so now people aren't talking about that so much, you know. So that's the difficulty, is that if there's an issue, they can get together. But if there's no issue, if there's no ism, there is no commonality. They can't just sit down and spend some hours with each other. You know, you have a family sitting around in the living room. Each one of them's on their phone doing something different, but they'll call it family time. They don't even talk to each other. And even if they do, it's on the phone, and they'll find a picture, send it to one of the brothers or sisters or parents, and they'll see it, laugh, and send some, you know, a smiley face back, and then keep on looking at whatever they're looking at. You know? So, I mean, you could say, I guess, you know, Google is the common central value, maybe. So that's the whole point, is because of the nihilism, then they don't believe in anything. So you have to show, you have to explain it logically, how to bring out the aspect that the soul is there, the soul is eternal. We're looking for this, and that's the common point of all people. Everyone's trying to become happy. Everyone, they have their different methods, but they all want to be eternal. They all want to be happy. So we see is that, you know, preaching a lot of times, Srila Prabhupada will discuss these things. We'll say they're very basic, but that's actually the points. Those are the things that catch people's attention. And you be pleasant, you be nice. You know? Prabhupada a lot of times would just talk about whatever they were into. Whatever is of interest to them, that's what you talk about. But then you try to show or bring it around how it'll be Krishna conscious, how you can be God conscious in that particular position. But it means how you relate to. It means, in other words, you want to catch them on that philosophical aspect first, in the logical culture, then you bring it in as you see that they can handle that. Because for many people, these concepts of culture and authority and that, they just don't know what they are. They've never had them. They've never had an authority figure. They've never had community with anyone, you know, other than their phone. You know? So then these things will come slow as they get purified and all these, then they'll be able to be applied.
You know? Maharaj, a quick question on that. Did you catch people with philosophy and then bring them in with the culture?
Means the point is if you're discussing the philosophical points, the Vedanta philosophy, it's above the modes of nature. And so that's the platform that they don't have really necessarily a lot to not like or have a doubt about. Does that make sense? So it means you take that off of some, you know, whatever it is, something that's going on today, some aspect in the society, some, you know, you find what is it that they're looking for. Just like, let's say, you're taking the Black Lives Matter aspect. So in that, that people should deal with people, each other nicely without, you know, having these biases based on the particular, you know, background or that they have. That's a nice thing. I mean, that comes from the philosophy of that. If you see everything in connection with the Lord, everything is coming from the Lord. Therefore, everything, it has that connection there. So why you should see that it's a different thing. You should have that. Well, you know, we see one of the elements of the advanced devotees, he sees everybody equally. But at the same time, is he can tell the difference and then have discussions based on that culture that they're from. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And then as you see, as it makes more and more sense in that you discuss so many different things, then you can get down into why we dress in orange bed sheets and, you know, wear croc shoes and, you know, stuff like that. Wear mud on our forehead, you know, stuff like that. But until they've kind of seen that there's some intelligence here, and it's something general, it's something that they could relate to, something they can use in their life, then you start to get down to what they're there. Because like in the first thing is just whatever you cook, offer it to the Lord. Because it's, you know, I mean, that you have that thing there in the Western society, at least in the Christian, of saying grace before they eat. It's just that by God's grace, we have something to eat. So you have to thank that it's come there. So we understand is that if he's giving everything, he's maintaining, then therefore we're doing it. So you start from there, and that people doing that, then you can bring them into, you know, that, you know, since it means you're offering to Krishna. Yes. But the point is that he only eats it himself personally if it's vegetarian. If it's not, then yes, the nutritional element in that, these things like that, that potency is coming from him, from his energies. But in other words, you'll be respecting him as the supreme, but you know, cultivating the personal relationship. That's why then it's vegetarian, because Krishna's vegetarian. He's vegetarian, right? You know, Prabhupada said, so we're Krishnatarian technically. We just use the term vegetarian because people understand what we're talking about. But we're technically Krishnatarians. What Krishna eats, that's what we eat.
Can I make a comment?
Yes, please, please, please.
When this discussion was going on now, so I was just remembering how Srila Prabhupada was recognized by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Specifically for his Vyasa Puja offering verse, which says, absolute dissension, thou has proved. And impersonal calamity, thou has removed.
Yes.
And this is the mission. So it's two things. It's like in Prabhupada's mantra, so Gauravani Pracharine, but then there is also Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, to be removed.
Yes.
And I have experienced also that, for example, with school classes when they come, who are not, you know, they are just coming like guests and they are not into Krishna consciousness. But in the school books, it's often about our culture, where we chant so many rounds and we this and this and that. But I mainly focus on the base, like you said, the base Vedanta philosophy. And that takes them off, like you said. That takes, you know, they can't really, they don't have a second negative thought about that. It's just, I have that experience. These things work. So you have to start with that.
Yes. Because the Vedanta philosophy itself, the principles of it are there, how you say, they're not something that causes an argument. They're not, because people don't have any background that has any experience of this, right? I can have experience of, I can have doubts about something I've had experience of. Like someone's dealt with me badly, I can have a doubt about that. But the point isn't just like, oh, I dealt with a religious person, they weren't nice, so therefore, you know, religious people aren't nice. But then you ask, well, what's religion? You know, you get into that, define what's religion, what's, you know, the inherent nature of something. And so therefore then, everything has its religion. And so then the point is that then it broadens it. It makes it not just, okay, it's us and them, but it's like everybody's involved. Your dog follows dog religion. They do dog stuff anywhere in the world, any country. Any dog, they'll all basically do the same thing. They'll sniff things, they'll run around, they'll pee on things, they'll bark at things, they'll slobber on everything, they'll wag their tail. You know, if they didn't do that, you'd say there's something wrong here. This is not a dog. You know? So everything follows its religion. So therefore then, if someone doesn't know as much about God-conscious aspects of religion, then they may behave in other ways and they get about control or this or that or so many things. And when they get into that, that's where people have problems with religion. It's not, people can't have a problem with religion because that's the laws of nature. But it's if people aren't applying it, like you expect someone in religious to be, you know, more broad-minded. But if they're not, that's then where the problem comes. Because you see, as one advances in God consciousness, he's able to actually accommodate more. He's fixed in his position, in his faith, but he's able to actually show the widest variety of people how they all connect to Krishna. So until we get that broadness, we find what groups or what areas we are able to convince people about. You know, that's why someone will focus on, let's say someone does college preaching, someone else does, you know, how you say secondary school preaching, someone else does primary school preaching. Someone does, you know, a certain kind of educational. They just deal with IT wallahs or just with doctors or just with lawyers or, you know, you have all these different kinds of areas where some individuals do very, very well. Someone, you know, just deals with politicians. Someone else just deals with businessmen like that. I've seen devotees that they go out and they deal with these businessmen, you know, in Calcutta or wherever it is, and dealing with them, then they're able to appreciate, you know, they're able to appreciate and, you know, and they're able to engage them that when these like life members of business come to the temple, they act like devotees. Well, other places, they know how to puff them up and make them feel big. And so like that way, then they feel special and everything. Does that make sense? So it's the uniqueness of the individual that's there. And so because of that, they're able to get into, and so they're able to make them, you know, feel comfortable with the devotees, want to serve the devotees. They do a big businessmen. They come to the temple. It's Prashad. Can I serve Prashad? Can I do some service like that? Cause they know how to preach to them and make them devotees. But you see others, they have people coming from political backgrounds. And when they come to the temple, they're just another guy. But if they go down to where they work, you know, they're respected all over Europe. But coming to the temple, they're just one of the guys. So that's the thing, is people have their areas by their own conditioning that they're able to work in and make others feel comfortable. And so then that's very nice. So it's just, if someone can work in a wider range, yes, that's good. But if not, even you work in a net, just work in that area. You know, like somebody is good with the Indians, deal with the Indians. Someone's not. Someone's good with the local people, deal with that. Or only of this age of people, you know, younger or older or something like that. You know? So you have all those different things that they find where it is that you are comfortable. And then you do. So like yourself, you have these groups come to the temple and all that, then that's a very nice way. And the best part is you just sit there. They come to you. You know? you know, that was Prabhupada. He was saying is that all these things is that he could arrange things so everybody just comes to you. But he was worried that the devotees at that where he was discussing that they would be too lazy. So he didn't tell them, but he indicated that, yes, you could act in such a way that without leaving the temple, you're busy all day preaching and cultivating people in Krishna consciousness, sitting in one place. So it's just up to what we can do but as an individual. And so that we should be confident with, and we work on that. You know, and as a group, then we work together. You know, somebody takes this aspect, someone takes that aspect. There's something new coming up, then, you know, who's interested, who can do. And that way, then we can broaden and slowly get more. If you can catch one person anywhere, then it'll have an effect. And the more we do, the more effect. And ultimately, the mission, this is the fun part, the mission as defined by Srila Prabhupada and by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. If we can make one person Krishna conscious, go back to Godhead, all of the effort we made throughout our whole life is worthwhile. One person. That's the mission. The movement is how everybody's involved in trying to apply the mission. The society is people associating together based on that movement and mission. And the institutions then are the legal entities where specifically we are dealing, you know, recognized by the government levels in, you know, as being representatives of Krishna consciousness. So all that's there, but that, and what are we getting across for this mission? That's the message. That message that Srila Prabhupada has come to give about how, you know, we are all servants of Krishna, you know, that develop love for Krishna, and the process is chanting Hare Krishna. And then from there, all so many details. So then it becomes a very, very clear and focused kind of thing. You know, having this wide variety of, operational areas, venues in which we can express or preach Krishna consciousness is very nice. And having so many, you know, understandings of various tactical and technical ways to apply, these are all good. But if in getting into that, we lose our focus, we don't remember that it's about the message and what the mission is, then we may get distracted and then it becomes a problem.
Any questions?
I have a question from Norway.
You want to rest?
Yes, Sanatana Mataji?
Yes, I have a question. So I feel often we can kind of get, you know, we become the International Society for deity worship or International Society for Rules and Regulation. How to kind of keep the focus? I mean, Ariatra in Norway is kind of similar. I mean, we don't have the ashram devotees, but we have every week we have newcomers, and it's always like cultivating on the same level, I feel. But how to get that point out that it's not all about rules and regulation?
It's just association by discussing those things means the people come, the discussions you have is about the consciousness, the development, then that culture of association, these kind of aspects there. Because rules and regulations, you have rules and regulations in everything, so people can't really complain. You go out on the street, which side of the street do you drive on? I've even found that when you walk on the sidewalk, according to which side of the street you drive on, that's the side of the sidewalk people expect you to walk on. So it's really fun when you go from India to England, then it's the same, but then you go from there over the continental Europe, then it'll be different. And so you're walking on the same side as them. Then there's this whole thing, who's going to move? Because I'm walking on the side I should be walking on. You're walking on the side you shouldn't be walking on. So technically I should move. And every time you walk down the sidewalk, there's this whole technical head trip going on who's moving and who's this and how close you get. So there's all kinds of rules. You stop at the light, you push the little button, you know, then the little, you know, how you say green person goes on like that. And then you can walk. And then, you know, so there's so many things. There's so many rules that are there. So rules is standard, but that's not the emphasis for us. Rules are only there. You have yama and niyama. So there's things to avoid simply because they distract you too much. You know, it's just like you don't watch a movie, you know, while you're trying to do your homework. It just distracts so much. Not that you can't do the two together, but the quality of either watching the movie or doing your homework, it then suffers. So then we want to, so what you should do, you know, how you are engaged in Krishna consciousness, what's the principle that's there? That's the main thing you focus on. And then, as they are appreciating, you can then show them the techniques and that and how they can apply it in their life. So then, like you're saying, new people come, you're always working on level, but if you can get, you know, some kind of contact for these people, then you can follow up on that, you know, ring them, drop into their pays, invite them to some other programs, have some programs that are more advanced, you know, some more advanced aspects of philosophy or culture or yoga or whatever it is that you're using, that they're coming, you know, coming around, showing interest, and further cultivations, because it's through sadhu sangha that everything develops. Without sadhu sangha, then things don't develop. It means even you're liberated, then the developing from the liberated platform to prema, that's still coming because of association. So association becomes the very, very important element that's there. Does that make sense? So you just are, we're simply finding various ways to give association. You know, so let's say you're having a yoga thing, but it's about the association. You're having, you know, kirtan association or cooking class, it's association. It's not the technique. We use the technique, but the technique is just a way for association. Just like, let's say you have some friends. And so just being with each other technically should be how it works. But you'll find that they want to do something, some common thing. So let's say they'll go out somewhere to eat something or go for a walk or go to the beach or, you know, something that there's something that is common that brings them together. But the point is association. So it's not any different. This principle of having some medium as the basis of interaction, that's from the spiritual world. It's reflected here and people go about it not necessarily as expertly as they do in the spiritual world, because there the Krishna becomes the center. So then all activities are nicely taken back to him. While here is we want to take it to us, or we'll extend to others as long as we're pleased with those others we want to connect with. Right? I'm able to extend the social awareness and appreciation as long as I appreciate those people I'm extending it to. When I don't appreciate, then they're not part of that circle, because ultimately we make ourselves the center. So that's why there's always difficulty and things break down, is because we make ourselves the center instead of making Krishna the center. Krishna's the center, then unlimited people can connect. If we're the center, then how many people are going to be similar to us that they can relate to us, right? There'll be a handful of people in our sphere of movement. There might be a few more around the world, but there's a good chance that they speak a different language. And, you know, if they're a few, you know, thousand or tens of thousands of kilometers difference, it makes it really hard to hang out. You know, unless, of course, it's a video game. Yeah. And then, yeah, everybody can hang out in the oasis. But the problem is how many have community?
Marge, in planning our preaching, is it useful to kind of consider what people are looking for and what are those elements that they're looking for?
Yes. That's also means you just, in other words, you take a lead in what is interesting on what's going on, you know, what's the topical, what's going on, what's in the news, what activities are doing. These easily you can do that as long as you can relate to that. But otherwise, just tried and true stuff. You can do that also. Whatever works for you, you have to see. And because you also have to make it interesting, you know. So if you're doing it, you're interesting. Like somebody is there. They have a blog and they're talking about, you know, they're talking about what they ate for lunch today, you know, and within a few days they have tens of thousands of followers. Why? They just liked how they presented how they ate lunch today. You know, so they're just looking for some. People are looking for something because they don't have anything really in their life. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if they had solid lives, then would social media be the central feature? Right? You know, no, it can be used as a way of communication, but it actually becomes the life.
Yeah.
You know, like, this was like some time ago. I think maybe it was 5-10 years ago that, someone, you know, they had, you know, some hundreds of friends or thousands of friends on Facebook or like this and that. And they were telling about this and that and doing this and getting married and all these things. And they thought, hey, why, you know, on this date at this place and all that, we're having the marriage. Why don't you all of you guys come and everything like that? Wouldn't it be fabulous and all that? Because on Facebook, they're friends. Then amazingly, hundreds or thousands of them showed up at the wedding. They didn't know who they were or anything like this and that. And, you know, it's like that. And it was a total mess. So that's the thing, is it seems like it's there. You know, we call it friends, but it's just there's some common thing that there's something there that you can relate to. And friend sounds better than just someone of common interest, you know. So then it's a matter of seeing what's there. Like you'd see in the BTG when Prabhupada was writing it himself. He would take what was going on in the culture at the time. You know, when the Sputnik went up, you know, like that, he wrote about that. Other issues came up, he wrote about that. Whatever's topical, definitely you can use and speak about. And people then relate to it, and it's nice. There's something common. So it's definitely a way that you can do. But then the thing is, you have to be able to adjust as it moves, because these things, especially nowadays, something's in, and after 6 months, it's gone.
Mm.
So whatever you can do with that in this way of speaking or this or that, but I wouldn't necessarily invest in it.
Yeah.
You know, because those things might change, you know. Mm-hmm. But as far as topical discussion, this is very much something that you can use to know what's going on and speaking about, you know. But it has to be understood as we're speaking about it, understanding the relationship, who we are as the soul, our relationship with each other, with Krishna, right? You know, so it's like, if you're saying all lives matter, then black lives matter.
Mm-hmm.
If you say black lives matter, well, what about white people? You know, does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's the thing, is that they have to understand, no, it's about all living entities. Not even if you say all people matter. But then the whole point is then what about the animals? What about the trees? So that's the Vedic system, is that leadership, you know, administration, you have to take care of all living entities within your jurisdiction. Like Prabhupada said, Grihastha, there's a snake living in the house, then they take care of the snake also. You know? Like that. I mean, you don't necessarily invite it onto the dinner table for dinner, but where they're staying in that corner in that hole, you put something there for them to eat.
Yeah, because then they don't disturb.
Yeah, means they do their thing, you do your thing, and everybody's happy. Devotees are saying, yeah.
So are there principles behind, underlying principles behind what other people are looking for, like that can be applied to any group of people, or is it individual?
Yes. I mean, means you're going to have, let's see, oh, it's on the phone. Yeah, we're using the phone. You have the aspect, it means you look at what's the soul made out of, eternity, knowledge, and bliss. So everybody is looking for a stable situation in which they can feel comfortable and safe. Everybody is looking for relationships, right? Because within that, you're going to be functioning in relationships. Because we're a person, right? We're not impersonal, right? If we were impersonal, then we would, you know, when things got better, then people would less and less deal with each other. But as things get better, people tend to be able to get together and work together. knowledge. People want knowledge, but of all knowledge, you can have the knowledge and skills to do things that you can get money to maintain the body. But who are we within the body? Right? And then to make it clear that we're not the body. And so then understanding that, then like originally back, you know, can say back 60s, 70s, even 80s, this conversations, preaching started with establishing we're not the body, we're the soul. Mm. You know, so it always works. And you see from that, thousands of devotees were, you know, came, people became interested. So, and then the ultimate knowledge is knowing who we are and who's God and what's our relationship, what's the material world, that's sambandhigyan, that's the thing. And then we want to be happy, but what actually makes us happy that it lasts? Because other things is, I wanted to get this particular, you know, pair of shoes, and I've been thinking about it in this, I finally get it together, I get the shoes, and now I have the shoes, now what do I do with my life? Okay, for a few days, I walk around my shoes, talk about my shoes, show it off to my friends, you know, take a few snapshots, you know, send it out on whatever medium we're using these days. And that, but then after that, then now what? So that's the thing is, so what's the ultimate goal of this happiness? And so there must be some position, because otherwise, why is everyone looking for an eternal position of happiness in relationships that's not disturbed by, you know, by the temporary? At the same time, it has variety. So these are common things. People are looking for that. You know, they want that. They want to be prosperous, but what is actual prosperity? They want answers. Why is someone born in a good family? Someone's born in a bad family. You know, and then they have what's good, what's bad. You know, rich is good. You know, poor is bad. Or pleasant, loving family is good. Not, you know, impersonal or, you know, how you say, violent family is bad, or, you know, everybody has their ideas. So these things can be discussed. But it all goes back to Krishna, because it all comes down to how do we define that this is good, that's bad? How do you measure? So that is, you have the Vedic standards. Every living entity is looking to get some facility. You know, the animals outside, they look for a place where they can call home. You know, so the bird finds a spot, you know, on that little wire that comes out underneath the overhanging roof. That's his spot. That's home. Mm-hmm. You know, the dog finds his little corner like that. The jackal finds a place where he can dig a hole in the ground, and then, you know, he can set up there. And, you know, so everybody has their spot. And they're all looking for it. So you can say as, oh, no, it doesn't matter. Then why is it every living entity is looking for it? So that's the whole thing, is that these are just standard things that everybody looks for. And so then you can work on those. You also have eating, sleeping, mating, defending. You know, you have, you know, lust, anger, greed, illusion, you know, how you say, madness and envy, you know. So many things that are common like that. Injustice, you know, so but what's justice? Because otherwise, then yes, we have injustice. The czar was running the place and all that. The people rose up and revolted, you know, and that. And then, you know, then they had the, you know, the new, you know, now that liberated state and everything was perfect. And then they had Stalin. Oh. And then it was probably, if you check, people were doing better under the czar. Oh. You know? Because most people, as a general rule, would rather be alive and it's not so great than dead. Right?
Yeah.
So that's the thing. You know, it means under the czar, you could make money, though maybe you weren't making money. Right? You could have an opinion, but, you know, you still have to be careful. But then after the czar, then you made money, they killed you. You had an opinion, they killed you. So, you know, how is it, that's the point, is that each one, as they come up, how does it become better? Mm. How does it become better? Why? Because the point is they're looking at the external. So that's the thing, is the external isn't actually the thing that's going to make you satisfied. It's going to be about, we as the soul, who are we, and relating to other living entities based on the platform of soul. So what's common amongst all soul? Where does the soul come from? They come from Krishna. Mm. So that's the basis. You know, so, yeah. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Maharaj, I have another question. Yes, this is please. In regards to what you spoke about earlier, how Vedic culture, it's like it's applicable, and you gave the example that we have 12,000 Indians in Copenhagen, and they can all come together around like Indian food, kirtan, Krishna katha, and they will all be happy. Sometimes a doubt is raised in the Western world, like within ISKCON, that we shouldn't put too much emphasis on preaching to the Indian community out of fear of becoming overly Hindu. Maybe you could address that.
Means, first of all, what is Hindu? It means you have to be careful, but the point is this, but then by that, then if we preach, then the opposite would be there. We preach to the locals, then we have to be fearful of becoming malechas and yadanas. Mm. You know what I'm saying? We have to remember in these arguments, the knife cuts both ways. Mm. You know, so what is the, now an individual there in the West, what do they want to do? They want to make money. Yeah. Do they want to be successful? They want to have a house that they own. Do they want to have a nice car, nice clothes? They want to have some family and relatives and some nice thing, right? So they're all working for that. Indians come over and they do that. So they're successful. They're in the West. So what's the problem with them? So then is it actually a matter of, oh yeah, about the Indian, or is it actually xenophobia? Hmm. Where I come from, my background upbringing, that would be xenophobic. But that could just be me. So the whole point is that, oh yeah, we don't want to have that. But what they have to understand is that basically, 15%, basically about, 13 to 15% of all the population on the planet is connected to India. You know? Does that make sense? How many people on the planet are connected to your place or?
An insignificant particle.
Yeah, so that's the whole thing is that, and we always go by, well, you know, it's what the majority say, and we want to please the people. This is one of the majority of people on the planet. Okay. And they're favorable to Christian consciousness. That's the one thing. Now, let's look at the other aspect of Hindu, define Hindu. So if Hindu means follower of the Vedas, then why wouldn't we be supportive of others who follow the Vedas? Then in that case, we shouldn't be too much hang out with devotees for fear of becoming too, you know, much of a follower of the Vedas. You know, we should hang out with the Karmis so we can maintain our, you know, Malecha Yavana roots, you know, come on, yeah.
Just an additional question.
You know what I'm saying? So like that, because the point is they follow the Vedas. So the point is, what is it? So you have philosophy and you have religion, right? So now philosophy means religion means you're following the various recommendations in the Shastra, right? You know, the lifestyle and how you live, how you eat, how you dress, how you, let's say, you know, giving in charity, studying the Shastras, you know, the principle of brahmacharya or sadhus, grihastha life, the duties that are there, varnashram, all these things, that's all religion, right? And then philosophy is, you know, do you believe in one supreme personality of Godhead? Do you believe in the super soul aspect? Do you believe in the impersonal aspect? You don't worry about that. You're just interested in the demigods, or you're just thinking about material energy as supreme. So you can have all kinds of varieties of philosophy, but have the same culture. Like in India, all have the same culture, but different philosophies. So we are Hindu, in this case, Hindu by culture or religion, but we are Vaishnav by philosophy. So the point is they have a common culture. That's not the problem. You want to avoid their philosophy that they worship deities. That's not the problem. Problem may be they worship Kali or they worship Shiva. But no, we'll worship Krishna as the supreme. So that's where philosophy comes in. but that they accept that you have to worship a deity, you need a guru, you're going to follow Shastra, you're going to respect your parents, you know, you have duties in the family. What's wrong with that? What's the problem with that? The more we develop that, isn't that a good thing? Isn't it modern psychologists are finding because of the breakdown in family values and that, then people don't have any direction and everything's falling apart? Nobody cares about you, then isn't that a problem? You know, so that's the thing. These people will help. There's 12,000. Then that someone has a problem, the others will help. You know, one of the local Danish people have problem. Who's going to help? So the whole thing is what does that mean, become Hindu? So first you have to know what Hindu means, and you have to know what the philosophy means, then making that statement. Yes, we don't want to water down our philosophy so that our religious practices then aren't according to that. We don't want to be inviting the Hindus over to do a Kali Puja at our temple. That we don't do. They can do that at their house. You know? They come to the temple, we're worshiping Krishna. We do Krishna Kirtan. So you have to be careful, but that's like in anything. You know, so therefore we shouldn't associate with the Hindus because we might become Hindu, but we're happy to go out and associate with the Christians, but we're not worried we'll become Christian. And does that include, can we go out and associate with the Muslims? Or they're just another category like the Hindus. So in other words, we're from a Western background, we're comfortable with that, and that's it. And anybody that's not from our culture, then we have a problem. So again, xenophobia.
Is it a power of giving association and not taking association? So giving to all and not taking?
Yes, yes, yes. Because so we're comfortable with anybody who happens to be interested. It happens to be these Indians are interested. Therefore, we're associating. If they're not interested, why will we hang out with them? In other words, if, you know, they have no interest in anything from the Vedic culture and their background, they're just trying to be the local Danes and all that, then yes, then we're not interested in them either. We're interested in finding people who are want to know who they are. Want to know why I'm suffering. That was Sanatana Goswami's point. People say I'm an educated man, but I'm a fool. I don't even know who I am. Even though he can speak so many languages and this and that and know so many things, but I don't even know who I am. So that aspect is that's where we start. That's what those people that are into that. That's what we're looking for. So if the Hindus are open to it, why not? They're living entities like everyone else. Why make such a distinction based on the bodily platform? You know, and then we're saying, oh, we're not bodily conscious, you know? Oh, if it's Indian, that's bodily conscious. We're Western, you know, like as if Western is this universal, not attached to the body, doesn't identify with the body. Are we listening to ourselves here?
And of course, you could say that Prabhupada in Africa, when the devotees were preaching to the Indian community, Prabhupada said you should go to the locals.
So yes, means don't just go to the Indians and all that, because it's there, but you go to the locals. But the point is since it means the Indians are there, like that, then why not? They're there, why can't they become devotees also? You know, I mean, yes, you want to catch the Africans in that, because it's that, but at the same time is since you're there, the Indians, then it's working there. And you see the place where it is. There's more Indians over on that side, then they're more interested, more involved. The locals are less, but you go to the western side of Africa, less Indians, and over there, somehow or another, they're able to appreciate it. So it's just whoever comes forward, that's who we're going to preach to. But this anti-Indian sentiment, then we take it back to Prabhupada said, but at the same time, it did Prabhupada not, how much time, his schedule was 6 months and 6 months. 6 months was in India and 6 months was in the rest of the world. So does that mean Prabhupada thought there was no value in preaching to Indians? So yeah, make sure you don't neglect the locals just because it's easier. But it doesn't mean, you know, so everybody who says this, well, not everybody, but a lot of people who say this and temples who say this, the amazing fun part is they're maintained by the Indians. So it's just Indians should just give money, but then have no other value or no other influence than that. Because we don't want to be Hindus. If they're Hindus, then it's like that. Then the point is, oh, if they're Hindus like that, then the locals won't come around. Then what kind of local is that? Right? Do the Danes, do they consider themselves kind of liberal people who are open and all classes of people from all parts of the world, from all cultures, all creeds, all religions can all come together and all that as long as you're not Hindu, right? So then, we got to listen to ourselves here. Mm. You know, if we're, this is my point. We say, oh no, but you know, it's got to be this and that. But isn't that kind of reactionary right? Isn't that a bit kind of like the Nazis? Don't want to upset anybody. You know? So the whole point is liberal means Indians are coming forward, we preach to them. The locals are coming forward, we preach to them. And, you know, okay, you have the locals there. So that means then only locals who, how many generations do we call them that now they're a local? An actual bona fide Dane, you know, how many generations do we have to go back, you know? That, okay, this is bona fide. What happens if, you know, they're from Germany and that, and they've settled there, their father's son, so then the kid's there. So are they actually Danes or are they actually Germans? So how do you define? Yes, you shouldn't be avoiding the locals and just focusing on the Indians. But the point is that it's not that we, using that, we avoid the Indians because we want to avoid the culture. Because for many, it's we're avoiding the culture. Because we're not training people in culture. We're not preaching to them about our philosophy. We're just, Sankirtan means collecting money. It's part of Sankirtan, but also Sankirtan also has to do something with discussing Krishna consciousness.
So in this matter,
Yes, go ahead.
I was just going to say, in this matter, is it more about that we should define and know what our purpose is?
Yes, yes. We should know. That's the point. We should know what our goal is. Nowadays, everyone talks about management, management, management. But what's the ultimate goal? Of course, it's Krishna consciousness. So let's talk management. But if we don't talk the ultimate goal, we won't be thinking about it. People just talk about management. Any discussion I have nowadays, practically, it's all about who's in charge and who's in control and, you know, who gets the money and who's got the manpower. Where's the discussion about Krishna? Because all that's being discussed is management and management techniques. So the point is you talk about Krishna, then that becomes the central focus. And of course, those who know how to manage, they'll do their best, organize things very nicely, and then all these things can go on so well. But you have to know what the focus. Management itself is not a ultimate goal. It's a tool for an ultimate goal. Just like I organize the kitchen for the ultimate goal of being able to produce cooked food. But if I make it that organizing the kitchen is the real thing, and by organizing, then everything's going to be fabulous and this and that, and get into this and that, no one focuses on cooking, then wouldn't it be a bit seen as a bit, you know, irregular. You know, if I go to a cooking school and all I learn about is how to organize the kitchen.
Doesn't work.
Yeah. So that's the thing, is that you could manage but not know how to cook. Mm-hmm. And if you know how to cook, even if you can't manage, at least you've already attained the purpose. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just a matter of balancing here that we're able to appreciate that, yes, you want to preach to the locals, But the whole point is this. Now, those Indians are there. If any of their children are born there and grown up there, they're Danes. They're not Indians. Prabhupada said, you know, about Indians. They were saying, oh, but the Indians are there and this and that. And then, you know, the children are born there. And Prabhupada said, yes, their children are British. They're not Indians. They may have that heritage and background, just like if you think back, it was, okay, someone from America, you know, their family came from Germany so many generations ago, or they came from England, or they came from Italy, or this and that. And so they have a little bit of something, but they're Americans. Yeah. They may have that little bit of flavor, you know, like that. But they're so they are locals. Okay, you know, don't preach to their parents. Preach to the kids. You know, if you really just want to avoid the Indians, then yeah, preach to the kids. They're not Indians.
Maharaj, I have a question in this regard. I remember listening to one of your lectures at one point where you mentioned an interesting example. You said that if you travel to any temple in the West, then you will find some Indian who is there, like giving a monthly donation and coming to the temple once a week and like cleaning in the kitchen, doing some service. And then you'll find the new Bhakta. And if you come back 10 years later, then you will find that the Indian's still there, giving his donation, doing some service, and the Bhakta has become the new temple president. So in that regard, my question is to the advancement of the convert to Krishna consciousness versus the one who is kind of like brought up in the culture. It seems that the converts, such as ourselves, are taking up the process more wholeheartedly. So how to get...
But at the same time, as you're talking about following the Chopati model, and that Chopati model is, they're all Indians.
Yeah, so how to apply, how to work towards
that?
Do
you understand there? You see the inconsistency there? The philosophy, Prabhupada's an Indian. Lord Chaitanya's an Indian. Don't let him blow anyone's mind here. Krishna is an Indian.
Yeah. So that's I'm not in any way trying to like I'm just wondering how do we, because we don't have that here where we are right now. It seems that much of our community are coming here on a regular basis, but we don't see so many who are taking up the process like very wholeheartedly and prioritizing it in their lives. So.
No. But still, that's why you have the aspect of Prabhupada saying preach to the locals, because generally if they take it up, they'll get very serious. And Indians may or may not, but if any of them do, then they'll be, for them, it's very comfortable. We may doubt the culture. They won't. Right? So for them, they accepted the philosophy, they accept the religion. We'll accept the philosophy and kind of, well, you know, religion. You know, so the whole point comes down to is that you're exposing everyone. So you have the aspect, yes, they're not going to necessarily, because of the point in the Gita, which is where Krishna says that someone becomes conditioned by the mode of goodness. Right. And so being conditioned by the mode of goodness, for them, everything's going basically okay. You know, it's not that fabulous, but it's okay. Well, those who aren't in the mode of goodness, then, you know, Maya Devi, you know, has puts them into such difficult situations. They just see this as crazy. And so when they come in contact with Krishna consciousness, they see how, you know, the value of it so much more, because you're looking at passion and ignorance and then looking at pure goodness. Well, they're going from goodness to pure goodness. Does that make sense? So yes. It has a strength in that if they do take up Krishna consciousness, so fixed. Like Srila Prabhupada mentioned about Bhakti Charu Maharaj, because I think he was giving him sannyas after like 6 months or 9 months that he joined. Mm-hmm. Right? And so then, you know, I think after 3 months or 6 months, he gave him first and second initiation together.
Yeah.
So then some of the senior devotees were worried, because this, I think, was in Vrindavan. You know, worried, but, you know, he's so young, he's so new. What if he falls down? Prabhupada looked at him and said, yes, if he falls down, he'll fall down to the mode of goodness. And so everyone had to be quiet, because they knew if they fall down, It's mode of ignorance all the way, you know, a touch of passion, don't worry. You know, so you do have that aspect. If they do take it up and become committed like we're trying to do, then they'll be very amazing. And if not, then yes, they'll just kind of trundle along in the mode of goodness and that. But at the same time, they're advancing. By that association, they're advancing. Each soul will advance to the quickness he is. Otherwise, you're saying there, you have so many converts there. And this is very good. This is very special, very unique. But at the same time, how many hundreds of devotees do you have out in the community that you don't hear one peep from? Most temples that have been around for a while, they have 300 to 500 devotees out there. So where the hell are these converts now? And those Indian guys are still there, still slowly moving along in devotional service. So therefore, that's not necessarily a great way to approach it. The point is that, yes, you engage them as much as you can. And like you said, they'll come around, they won't get initiated, they'll chant a little here and there. Some of them, maybe the grandmother will get serious and chant some serious rounds and read Bhagavad Gita and all this and that. But next life, they'll take up, from that position and they'll continue. And those who you can discuss with and they'll take seriously the process and therefore surrender and dedicate their life to Krishna consciousness, directly and immediately, then of course you want to cultivate them and give them all the attention required. So we're trying to get people to be Krishna conscious, but we're willing to deal with this wide range. Someone who's only a little bit is a little bit. Someone who's a more is more. Because in saying this is that we can, in doing this is that, yes, we'll give to the converts, but do you give more to someone who's more serious, who's chanting more, who's doing more? Do we give them more Krishna consciousness? Or it's the same program for everybody. Like previously.
We prioritize those who want it the most.
But within the temple, those who have joined, is there a priority there?
No.
Someone wants to go very deep into the philosophy. Do they get time for that? Or it's the same program as everybody else? So therefore, we have to remember our upbringing and our education is about mediocrity. You go to the state school, right? It means most everyone in the room there went to the state educational system. Anyone went to a private? No, state. Okay. So in the state, is it about the kid who's not so smart? No, he fails. But what about the kid that's really intelligent? Is the class working for them? No, it's for the guy in the middle. So that's our experience. So we have to be very careful. Is that, yes, in this case, we're worried about the guys who are just kind of just plodding along. But are we also, what about the guys that are really wanting to be dynamic? So we don't have that wide range. So it's a narrow range. So yes, if that's all we know, that's all we can relate to, then that's fine. Then we should do that. And we should cultivate in that way. But at the same time is know that the guy who's plodding along, that's also, how is he not Krishna conscious? At least he's Krishna conscious, not doing much, but at least you see him at the temple. While those other 300 to 500 out in the community there, or not in the community, just out in the ozone there, then they're neither coming around and neither doing anything. So at least these guys that are not doing so much are doing something. Right? So therefore, those who can be more dedicated than that definitely give, full attention. But at the same time, don't neglect attention to those who are, just plodding or they're regularly coming. Because the goal is not they have to be an initiated devotee. The goal is that they're hearing and chanting about Krishna. They're developing their faith in Krishna. They're associated with devotees. Amongst those, if anybody can become a devotee, then that's the advantage. How many people in Denmark, right? Some millions, right? How many are sitting there in your temple room? Right? 10, 15, 20. Right? So in that proportion. But now take 12,000. How many of those come to the temple and are regularly hanging around? Proportion you'll find is much greater. So therefore, why neglect them? You know, saying, oh, but Prabhupada said, preach to the locals. He says, great, preach to the locals, but people who are coming along and all that, then why wouldn't you do there? Especially if they're coming around. Maybe the ones that aren't coming around, you may not, you know, only try to catch them now and again, but the ones who are more regular and their friends and that kind of that through that circle, then you expand. So the whole point is you start like here. You have a handful of dedicated persons. From those handful, you cultivate and then you expand one by one. Because as we said, one person becomes God conscious. That's special. But they're also connected with Krishna. And so therefore, then that's also nice. Right? So it's not that it has to be that only if it's local, it's a success. No, any living entity is connected to Krishna. You know, it's like the tree out in the backyard that you pour all the Charinamrita on. That tree is special. How many trees in Denmark get Charinamrita poured on them? No, but that tree gets, you know. So how much piety is there? You know, next life, there'll be a nice devotee. You know, so if, you know, if that tree dies and after some time you see somebody show up at the temple and they kind of got green hair and leaves sticking out of their ears, and you know who they were. You know? Does that make sense? So in other words, we have to be very, very careful in the name of being practical and preaching that we don't also avoid areas that are obviously there. So that's the thing, is that now Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that there's two classes of devotees. Means if you're talking in general, right? And so you have those who are called samanya, which means general. And you have those that are called sampradayak. So that general devotees means they either, you know, accept the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, but don't necessarily practice so strictly, or they accept the dress of Krishna consciousness, but don't really practice very seriously. Or they're born in families of devotees and, you know, like that, where they're kind of engaged in these things, but them personally, there's not much commitment. Does that make sense? So you're going to see those samanya, most of your Hindus are going to be that. And you're going to see a lot of the children of devotees are going to be in that category. Right? Now, if any of those take up Krishna consciousness seriously and, you know, take up Bhajana Kriya and the association of devotees, get initiated in that, then there, now they become sampradayak, because now they're trying to follow the sampradaya, the teachings and all that, they become very serious. So you ultimately, but that's what we said, if you get one person to that platform and they continue through and become God conscious, then that's perfect. But you're going to start from this huge base and then pull and try to pull it up. So then the Indians are part of that base. You know? So that's going to be there. So they're naturally, since they're there, that's why we're considering. If there's no Indians there, you don't need to go look for them. But since they're there and they come to the temple because they want to have some connection to their roots and everything, because they're Indians and all that, then yes, of course. So you want to create a balance, and it's not just the point is that if they don't fully surrender, then we don't care about them. No, it's that we're catching everyone. That's what Prabhupada's out in Regent Park feeding the ducks. Those ducks next life will be humans, and they'll have done that service. Now they'll continue. They'll bump into devotees and continue a bit with Krishna consciousness. Maybe they'll get serious, maybe they won't. You know, duck this life, human next life. You don't know how long it'll take for them to get serious. They might get serious next life. They might not. So that's the whole point. So the point is that in doing this, then, okay, we're avoiding, you know, let's say if we avoid the Indian Hindus, but we're also avoiding the local Danish Hindus. It's all those devotees that are just kind of out there and kind of doing something and this and that, or nothing in their life and all that. But they're also just kind of in that same category. you know. You're generally seeing preaching to those devotees who were in Krishna consciousness, aren't anymore. Generally, you don't really have any programs like that anywhere in the world. Some people talk about it, but actually doing it, very few ever do. Because they're a trip. The Hindus, then you got to deal with all their religious crap. And for these devotees that have, you know, left Krishna consciousness and all that, you have to deal with all their so-called philosophical crap. So no one likes to deal with it. So the point is wherever there is an interest, it's like a spark. You have a spark, you fan it. So anybody from anywhere is there, you fan it. And you try your best with who you have there in the temple, what is their expertise, who they're comfortable working with. Like if in the temple you don't have anybody that's comfortable working with the Indians, then they work in their areas that are there. When the Indians come to the temple, then you try to do the best you can. But if there's someone that can actually cultivate them, then why not go out and do programs and do stuff for them? Because you see all these things, Namhata and all these different things, the council, you can establish that very easily with them. Because they're happy to have people come over to their house. How many Danes want someone to come over to their house? Right? Because you go to their house, it means, oh, we got to cook, we got to clean up the place, I don't feel like it. I've been working all day. I just want to relax. It's my house. It's my castle. You know, can't they do it at someone else's house? And the Indians, yeah, great. Come over. Mm. So it's a matter of difference in just the personal lifestyle, the personal piety. So Indians are religiously more pious. And you see the Westerners catch the philosophy better. Therefore, Prabhupada said, lame man, blind man. They have to work together. Does that make sense?
Yes, definitely.
Does that work? I mean, hopefully this is not too grumpy for anybody. But,
No, not at all.
Okay.
So also in cultivating, like, it seems rather simple in one sense, whether we're talking about cultivating the locals or cultivating the Indians. We have to preach the philosophy and like explain the values that are given there in the Srimad Bhagavatam and get them attracted to that, get them attracted to chanting.
Yes.
And from that everything will come.
Yes, and then everything will naturally come. So you simply have to find forums for that. So for the Indians, it's easier because you can go to their home or they'll come to the temple or you can rent a hall and have a big program and they'll come. And so them, the forum is quite easy. How many come on a regular, more regular, this or that? But because there's so many of them, you'll always see that there'll be plenty of people at the program. And for the locals, then you're going to have to see, okay, so then, what areas you can do, where you can find, what you can do, different devotees do different things, you know, whatever it is. I know devotees that they run cooking classes. And this way they catch people. You know, others go out to the, you know, colleges and universities or do Hari Nam or do book. Some way that you find that you can catch people, connect with them, and bring some interest in or exposure to Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it's, the principle is the same. That's why it's not different. There's not a difference. It's just that in the religious side, the Indians are easier. Philosophically, maybe more difficult sometimes because they always have so many, you know, crazy ideas. But that's why you keep it simple and discuss certain things like that and continue that. Also, you find Westerners, they may not show up with their whole family. They're just individuals that come. And so it's more focused while the Hindus will show up with the whole family, crying babies and everything like this and that. And so then you have you just have to speak in something in general, but keep to certain points to try to convince them. Because the more they're convinced, the more they'll start to be serious about hearing and chanting. They know what initiation is, so that's why they're a little bit more reluctant. Westerners don't know what it is, and so they'll jump into anything. Right? And it's to their advantage. The Westerners, it's an advantage. They'll take that leap and they'll move forward. Indians because of knowing what the standard is and knowing they're not up to the standard, but aren't willing to make that little bit of extra effort to come up to the standard. So that's the point, is everybody has their strength and their weakness. So Westerners, the strength is the philosophy, weakness is religion. The Indians, the religion is the strength and the philosophy is the weakness. Prabhupada said, philosophy without religion is mental speculation. Hence the devotees speculate on anything. Things that have been answered a million times. Oh, you know, do we have to, you know, it's Chaturmas, so you don't have marriages during Chaturmas, but we're in Mayapur, and so isn't it auspicious and transcendental? Do we actually have to follow that rule? How many times has that been answered? A million times. You know, do we have to follow Chaturmas, you know, like that? Do we have to not eat, you know? A million times you can answer it, and a million times like that, because it's religion. So they speculate on all this because they don't accept the religious aspect, therefore the speculation. Well, then Prabhupada said, religion without philosophy is sentiment. So that's what you see. Indians all sentiment. They're sitting there. You tell the story. And they're so much there and, you know, so emotional and all this kind of thing. But understand, I may not get into that. So the point is Vaishnava means both. They accept the philosophy and the culture. That makes it strong. Then you will be fixed in Krishna consciousness. You'll be able to preach to the widest range according to your ability. Does that make sense?
Definitely. Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Okay. Some other.
Anyone else has some questions?
So,
unique opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, Maharaj, maybe you could talk about some of the things that disrupts communities amongst devotees.
Disrupts communities, yes. Okay. Basically, is that community means there's common values. And so when some perceived values aren't followed, then that will disrupt community. So there's going to be the aspect is that the reality of, okay, ourselves as a community, you know, especially as Westerners, how much of a community are we? We're not really that strong as far as community goes. You know, whenever we hear of communities, they're generally connected to some either a particular, you know, like they say third world background or some particular religious or some other particular kind of thing. Or you might have, let's say, a skateboarder community or something like that. There's something common. So we have the sense in that. And so then we have to see is that how are we accepting this community? So now let's say in the community we have standards and we all accept those standards. But now if someone can't come up to the standard, then the tendency is we'll just reject. So the point is as a person, everybody is trying to, apply themselves to the process. Everybody has their own impurities. So therefore, there's going to be mistakes made. People are going to do something wrong. And when they do something wrong, then is it only if you're perfect, then you can be in Krishna consciousness? Or is Krishna consciousness a process for becoming perfect? So therefore, someone makes a mistake, then how to give association the support so they can move forward. That's then, you know, if that is there, then people will feel safe. But if we make the thing as someone does anything wrong and he's out, then who wants to commit themselves to the system? Who wants to commit themselves too closely? Because everybody knows I might do something, especially if you're in community, because, you know, your family and so many things that are going on. And so many, you can't always commit to doing everything as perfect as you'd like to. And so then they won't want to get involved because it's not inspiring, because they saw when that temple president did something wrong and how the community rose up and threw him out, you know, on the sidewalk as if he was a piece of trash and no one even mentions his name like that. And so that could be anybody. And so who wants to get too close to that kind of an organization? Right? While if somebody makes a mistake and then you try to make some arrangements so that they can move forward. Sure, the Prabhupada, senior devotees that make mistakes, he'd take them with him, they travel with him and all that. And after 3 months when they kind of get it together, he'd send them back to do the same service they were in. For us, the temple president makes a mistake, that's it. For life, finished. No more temple president. Prabhupada, after 3 months, 6 months, when he's solid and steady, he put him right back in as the temple president. And if some people thought, no, we don't want him as the president, someone else, then he'd go, fine. He's going to go open a new temple and be a temple president there. So that's why then Prabhupada inspired that sense of community. Everybody would be there. But we, in this new modern politically correct where anything goes wrong, then everything's out. It's either 100% or zero. Then we got a problem. So we see is the committed devotees, it's 100%. As long as it's 100%, it's fine. They make a mistake, they're gone. And the Hindus, they're not 100%, so we don't care. So therefore, how will community develop? So it's not a sentimental, oh, we care for everybody. It's a matter of, it's Vaishnav. Vaishnavs means someone who's committed to or who accepts the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They accept God as a person. How much they know about him, that's why the Hindus. They accept God as a person. It may also be impersonal at the same time. Amazing combination, but they're there. But that's like, you know, your Christians, your Muslims, your Jews. They all accept God as a person, but at the same time as they're impersonal. So that's the point. They're all that, they all have that background. You know? Does that make any sense? So we have to be able to, it's a matter of accommodating devotees and their individuality and how to, but the individuality of how that individuality can be connected to Krishna, not, oh, I'm an individual, I have to do things the way I want and it's all about me and my rights and how I'm the victim and all that. No, it's about what are my obligations to Krishna consciousness, and if someone has difficulty, how to discuss that and express that. It's so much easier just to manage. It's more difficult to cultivate people. So that's the whole thing. We talk about community, but are we cultivating individuals in their Krishna consciousness? It's just about community just should just work. Community should get itself together as a community, and the community should give tons of money to the temple, you know, or to ISKCON or the GBC or something like that. And we support community. But who's training community? Who's going out there and training them, showing them how to be Krishna conscious, how to apply Krishna consciousness to life? How, by riding on the train to work, how they can be Krishna conscious? How being at work, they can still be Krishna conscious? That husband and wife, how they interact with each other, how they can be Krishna conscious? How his parents deal with their kids, how they can be Krishna conscious? Is this kind of discussion going on? Is this training going on? No. Does anybody talk about it? No. Sometimes we'll take a few modern things like this, you know, husband and wife relationships and all this and that. But it doesn't work for the karmis. Why should it work for us? We already have. The Vedics already has all these things. This is the origin. Does this make any sense, or is this? So, in other words, we have to look deeply into that, yes, this philosophy is actually something that you live. You live the philosophy, that is the culture. So the great sages and all that, then they have documented ways. That's what Smriti is. Smriti is tradition. Means the Veda is there, it gives everything. Then the great personalities, these liberated souls, how then they take that and explain that to others in a practical way, how they can use it in their life. That's the tradition. So that's then what we have to take. So Srimad Bhagavatam is our main book of tradition, how all those great personalities, you know, how they surrendered to Krishna, how they move forward in their Krishna consciousness, how they came to the perfectional platform, becoming fully Krishna conscious. And then all those different things, the suggestions that Srila Prabhupada makes, the recommendations the acharyas makes, all these different things, and then we try to use that in our life. So are we training people in that? How to you know, be Krishna conscious when they're cleaning their house. Why their house should be clean. You know what I'm saying? So we don't discuss technically the philosophy. We don't discuss technically the culture. We just kind of somehow think it'll just happen. You know, it's just like if you want to get a job, let's say in engineering, then you're going to, you know, and you want to do good, then from your secondary education, you're trying to get good grades in your math and science and all these kind of things. Then you can get yourself into a good university. Then you're going to spend 3 or 4 years getting your degree. Then you're going to go out and get your job. So all that time spent for that. But in the modern culture, how much time is necessary for being trained to be a family person? You want to get married, how to know how to be a family person? That's zero. But somehow or another, knowledge and skills in the way of occupation and all that. Oh, you don't go to this university. Oh, you don't have a degree. How are you going to make it in the world? So do you have a degree on being a grihastha? No. You know, because I have attachment, therefore I'm the world's expert. And how is that working out for everybody? What's your percentage there? America, it's about 70% divorce rate. What do you got over there?
Like that?
Yeah, it's becoming quite universal. So the whole thing comes down to is that it's not working. They're putting so much emphasis on the occupation to get money for family life that they have no idea how to run, and it falls apart. So what's the use of all the money? Even they try to enjoy it, how much they can enjoy. Right? So that's the whole point, is that the training means, how are you training them as a community? How to be community, how to be Krishna conscious, just like your temple devotees, you're teaching them how to be Krishna consciousness in a temple environment and how to deal with the world around them. Same way with the community, how to be Krishna conscious in the home environment, in the community, in the family, and how to deal with the world around them. It's the same principle. Like you said, preaching to one group is the same as preaching to the other. The example might be different, but it's still the same preaching. It doesn't matter. That's why Bhaktivinoda, grihe tako, bane tako. So if you're living in the temple or you're living in the community, it doesn't matter. The cultivation is the same. You have an advantage of those in the temple. You regularly see you can put in more effort. And that's their commitment, is that they want to be at the temple to get that. And so that seriousness is very much appreciated. And then the community, how much you're able to give input and all that, then you do what you can. You may say, well, the Indians already do all those things, but do they know why they're doing them? They only do it because their mother did it. That's all. And their grandparents did it. That's why they do it. If you ask the parent, why do we do this? They say, well, it's our parents did it. That's what our family does. That's all the more they're going to get. They can't explain. So we should explain. Then you'll see the young people in these communities also will take Krishna consciousness seriously. Otherwise, they also leave the Hindu thing, because nobody gives them any answers. And in the Western culture, no one asks. So then, hey. Okay. So I think we're over the time now.
And you.
So one thing I would suggest is maybe having, means between now and tomorrow at this time, then yourself and everybody there who's interested, then thinking about what's been discussed here, because this has been very general, right? So now if there's, more, if that brings up other questions or that, kind of document the questions so you have your list of questions, and then tomorrow we can go through.
Yes.
For me, based on what questions you ask is what we're going to talk about. You know what I'm saying? Because the topic's so broad that we need some general direction.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Thank you, Maharaj, for a very nice presentation. You have given us a lot of food for thought. Now we have heard Shravanam, we'll do some Mananam, think about it, and we'll have questions tomorrow.
Okay, yes. And then, thank you. And sorry if we were a little rough on and around the edges on any of these topics, but the point is to try to get people to think.
Yeah. We like that. It makes the point stick. So also for all of those who are following online, I will, in the chat, I will put up a link if anyone is interested in providing some dakshina, some donation to Maharaj. That would be very much appreciated. And let me just see. Oh. No, I can only message Soumya Radhika Devidasi. I cannot.
Can I try now, Prabhu?
Everyone. There we go. Yes. So here is a link, and bank information. If anyone would like to contribute to Maharaj, that will be very much appreciated in his programs and in my report. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for giving us this amazing. Hope that we'll be able to.
And also means from those who are just online taking part. If they have any particular questions or anything like that, to go, you know, just like, you know, Tapas Prabhu has very, you know, nice things to ask about. He has a lot of experience. But anybody else in the community that has something.
And if you like, you can send them to me in advance and I can forward them to Marge as well.
Yes, I will do. If any written questions, they come up, then yes, I will forward them. Okay.
Okay, Jai Ho. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Jai Ho. Hare Bo. Hare Bo. Jai Ho. Jai Ho.
Jai Ho.